Welcome, Hog fans, into the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. I'm Blake Sutton with Whole Hog Sports. I'm joined by Scotty Bordelon of Whole Hog Sports. We are inside Bud Walton Arena. The Hogs are practicing out there. We just finished up a Mike Anderson press conference. Daniel Gafford and Jalen Harris also spoke to the media to preview Indiana. But before we get to that, Arkansas had a game against UC Davis on Monday. They beat the Aggies 81-58. Daniel Gafford was not really the star of that game. It was more about Adriel Bailey and Mason Jones. What did you see out of those two guys?
Yeah, they both played really well. Both guys obviously in the 20 scored 20 plus first time in their careers. I think It was more of a surprise that Adriel obviously scored the ball that well, and he's, you know, it's still really early, and probably, you know, two games is too small of a sample size to say that Adriel's going to be a solid to good mid-range, have a solid to good mid-range jump shot this year. But he's like 4 for 4 on mid-range jumpers this year, or somewhere in there. And, you know, Mason, I think it's always with Mason been about just being sure of himself and shooting with confidence and looking for a shot. Like we talked about Monday night, he brought his smoothie in again after the game. He's always smiling when he brings his smoothie in. He was in a good mood. He had plenty of reason to be. And it's kind of one of those rare games, I feel like, that Arkansas's got a couple guys in 20 points, and one of them's not Dan.
Right.
You know, he had 6 more turnovers the other night, which we could get into a discussion on how Daniel's being used in the half-court offense. Maybe we could talk about that later, but yeah, those two guys picked it up. And Isaiah Joe, we thought, kind of had a quiet night. Still finished with 14.
Right.
Slight 14.
Flew under the radar with the 14 points. Yeah.
And he made a couple of really good plays. I've hyped him up quite a bit since I covered him in high school. Said that I think he can turn into a pretty good defensive player by the time he's done here. He took a charge and deflected a lob pass that would have gone for a UC Davis dunk the other night before UC Davis even scored. He had taken a charge and made that deflection. It was kick-started a break. Several guys had pretty good games the other night. You're still wanting to get a couple more guys going, I guess. But, you know, Adrio's said he's been telling people that he's been working long nights in the gym when he could have been out partying or been out on Dixon Street or whatever. You know, the other night he said that, and staying in the gym a lot, working on his jump shot. And we heard a little bit about that before the season started. That was the case. But, I mean, it's different working off season than actually doing it in a game. So he's kind of showing off right now.
Yeah, it's encouraging to see guys like Adriel Bailey and Mason Jones get going and step up when Daniel Gafford is not and Isaiah Joe are not having huge games. But they're both in the starting lineup, and what's discouraging to me is just the lack of production from the bench. And as we saw the other night, when that second unit was out there, there was a huge drop off in not only offensive production but just coordination on the floor, spacing, just like everything. And the youth really shows in that second unit. Mm-hmm. Guys like Desi Sills, who's the game still has not slowed down from him. He seems really raw. We've seen some good flashes from Reggie Chaney. He didn't have a good game against UC Davis.
He was like minus, what, 15?
Yeah.
He was minus 15 the other night, I think.
Yeah, in 11 minutes. And Gabe's not there yet. Keyshawn Embry-Simpson, I guess, would be your leader off the bench, and he only had 7 points. So right now, what's going to keep Arkansas out of the postseason is that young bench and the lack of production from the bench. And they're really going to have to figure out – they might have to shuffle the lineup a little bit. You might have to have Adriel stay out there with that second unit just to have some more leadership and some more experience out there, because – When that second unit came out there, it was just a huge drop off.
Yeah, I wrote about the bench on Monday night. I thought that was, you know, outside of Mason and Adriel, and I'll be honest, I thought Bob was going to write about Adriel, so I went another direction and wrote about the bench and kind of got a little bit of negative feedback on it. Just, hey, Arkansas won by 23 points. Why the negative headline about the bench? Well,
yeah,
dude, they've been outscored by 25 points in their two games, and they're shooting like 20% from the floor. That's not it's not going to understand that those guys are young and they'll progress as the season goes on. But I mean, if they don't, I think a big test is going to be Saturday, because I mean, this is going to be, you're facing all, I mean, Indiana, I think, would run Texas out of the gym, probably the way that they did Marquette Wednesday night. So I'm afraid, like, if this trend continues, that it's really going to strain the starters, and you're going to see a guy like Jalen Harris have to play 39 minutes or mid to upper 30 minutes in a game. And I mean, that happens, and that's wear and tear. It's wear and tear on your legs, and the way Arkansas likes to play, your legs are going to be shot by February. I think Keyshawn Embry Simpson is probably the guy that you're looking at to be maybe your offensive leader as far as that bench unit goes. And then Reggie's probably got the second best chance. Like, he had a double double and I think one of the exhibition games, so he's got the potential. As Mike said the other night, he just thinks he's thinking too much. Mm-hmm. He's got really happy feet when he catches the ball. I think the first time he caught it against Texas, like in a half-court setting, wasn't really sure what he wanted to do and just shuffled his feet and traveled.
Right.
And we've seen him do that several times. But Keyshawn, I think, looks for his shot a little bit more, and he really loves the corner three, which is a pretty efficient shot. Yeah, I think it's just those guys who got to learn their roles. Like the guys that, like Gabe, played 0-for-7 from the floor in the first two games, and two of his seven shots were threes. And there was another one against Texas where first time he touched it, he just went right at the rim and tried to throw in a kind of a circus shot. Like that's not you. That's not you. Like your offensive rebounding, stick backs, try to get to the free throw line. His free throw shooting's got to get better too if he wants to. Wants to cash in on that. Desi can be a 3-and-D guy, I think. And, I was talking to Jimmy Carter the other night, and he was just to kind of maybe combat the bench, maybe you go small and play four guards around Daniel, and you get some more spacing and just be able to maybe work through him a little bit more. And that leaves Adriano coming off your bench maybe a little bit, maybe give you a lift in that area too. So I'm not super high on the bench right now. I know it's really early and people are probably going to tell me to chill out, but like it's just not been encouraging. Like 5 out of 24 in two games, it's not encouraging.
Well, speaking of that four guard lineup, you might need somebody like Daniel out there to have some kind of inside presence, because as we saw the other night against UC Davis, when that second unit was out there, there was no effort to get the ball inside. I noticed several times where we had five guys standing around the perimeter just kind of passing it to each other and almost no direction, and seemed like they had like no idea what they really wanted to do offensively.
Yeah, there's not many, like the only rules that Mike has in his offense is just move, cut, try to work yourself free, set picks for guys, but there's got to be some kind of direction. Mm-hmm. And like with Daniel, the 12 turnovers that he's got this year, I'm like wondering if that figure would be a little bit lower if you had the way that you're using him, you put him in more ball screens, more pick and rolls with Jalen, and use him more as a rim runner and not like a back to the basket big. Mm-hmm. I feel like me and Jimmy have talked about this a lot too, because he's not a big fan of how he's being used right now, and just send him down to the block and just leave him there. I don't like that either. I just don't think you're maximizing his potential if you do that. Get him out where he can use that athleticism and he's not being limited. A lot of people want to see Daniel, just they want to see an improvement in his post moves or using his left or right hand, spinning on a double teams, whatever. But I think a lot of it is just the way he's being used, and who knows? We might see that on Sunday. You know, a lot of times late in games last year, that's what Mike elected to do in big moments. So might be the way that they go. Yeah, this offense needs some direction, and you know, I think it starts with Jalen and Daniel, kind of maybe kick-starting things with like a pick and roll or just some action like that.
Well, even though the bench didn't really show up on Monday, Arkansas did take down the Aggies of UC Davis, 81-58. UC Davis is not a good team.
That's polite.
Yeah, it seemed like any time they came down the floor, I think when we were on press row, I turned to you and said they looked like frightened baby deer, because anytime one of them got the ball, they're like, oh my God, I'm holding the ball. Like, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. And they're just always looking to pass it to something like, you take it, I don't want it. They weren't a good team. Indiana, however, it's a good team.
A little bit better.
They smoked Marquette last night. What was that? Wednesday night. It's early in the season, but Marquette was a top 25 team. They were ranked number 24. Indiana beat them 96-73. Not even close. Just a blowout for Indiana. Indiana's 3-0. They're in Archie Miller's second season. They didn't have any success last year. Didn't even make the NIT. But this year, they picked up a five-star recruit, Romeo Langford.
Their recruiting class is good.
Yeah. What do you know about Romeo?
He's really good.
he's a five-star, so let's leave it at that.
It kind of goes into something else I was wanting to get to. Like, Romeo Langford, like, against Marquette, 7 out of 10 inside the three-point line, just on two-point looks. Arkansas has been really good in that area. This year, I think they're top 10 nationally in two-point field goal defense, which is I'm writing about that in a column that's going to drop pretty soon, so check it out. But
be sure to check that out on wholehogsports.com.
Yeah, thanks for the plug. But, yeah, Romeo's 6'6", 215-pound guard. Like, he's good-sized guard, got good build, and he'll finish through contact. And last night, I watched some highlights of the game against Marquette, and it seemed like every time he had the ball in his hands, he was – in the paint or looking to get a shot off around the rim. He slashes a lot, really good with the ball in his hand, just creating things. He only had 2 assists last night. He had 3 steals. He was 7 out of 10, just on 2-point shots. I think if he does have a weakness right now, it's at the line, and it's shooting threes. Like, he was 1 of 5 last night. I think he's like 2 of 12 for the year. Like, I mean, obviously when you can get to the rim with as much ease as he does, like, I don't know why you would – I mean, he's not going to be a great three-point shooter because he is so great at attacking the rim. Juwan Morgan's another guy that I think Arkansas fans need to get familiar with. He's really good. I think he was their leading scorer and rebounder coming back from last year. It's like a 13 and 8, 9, 10 guy. He had 13 and 8 last night. He's going to be a load. He's 6'8", 230. It's really good. Like, he, not tall, but he'll use that frame to his advantage and try to root guys out for rebounding position. So he'll be really tough. Indiana will be really good. They'll be really good. It's going to be a young team, it'll be a pretty young team. Five-star point guard coming in, but I mean, he's a freshman. The rest of that recruiting class is 4 stars, but they're still young guys. This will be the rowdiest environment they've faced, and there should be a lot of excitement around the game on Sunday. You know, Arkansas's going to start honoring, I think, the 94 national championship team. That's going to be like a season long thing.
25th anniversary.
Yeah, and they're going to be selling the Slobbering Hog stuff. So there may just be people coming to the game just to grab those T-shirts, which I don't blame them. I don't blame them for that, or the hoodies or sweatshirts
cool
or the hats.
It's attire.
Stuff. Yeah, I would be lying to you to say that I didn't want one. Those are pretty tight.
But like you said,
it'll be an atmosphere like they've never seen before, like they haven't seen yet. So
right,
we'll see.
And they're approaching a sellout at Bud Walton Arena. I believe yesterday they said there was only 500 tickets left. It'll be an environment for the young Indiana team that they have not experienced yet. And you know, they did blow out Marquette, but that was a home game for Indiana. And
they jumped out.
Big crowd.
It helps when you jump out to a big lead. I think they got up on Marquette last night like 19-4. So they kind of hit them with a haymaker early. And
yeah.
I think I think they just kind of kept their foot on their throat and didn't let Marquette get back into the game whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, we're obviously all familiar with the Indiana Hoosiers, 5 national championships in their history, but I got a fun fact for you.
What's that?
So, you know, Arkansas, one of the things they do, one of the, you know, big parts of their game day atmosphere in all sports, most, I guess, except for, you know, baseball, is the William Tell Overture. Indiana, during the third timeout of every second half, Indiana does the William Tell Overture, and it's a big deal for them because they only do it one time per game, you know, but they have cheerleaders running around the court with flags and stuff for the William Tell Overture, so kind of a little bit of a connection there with Arkansas.
You know, you were at the Touchdown Club on Wednesday and heard Nolan. It was kind of crazy to me. I guess I didn't realize that Nolan never faced Bob Knight. Like, that just...
Ooh, that would have been a good matchup.
Yeah, I know Bob was... That was kind of what Bob was angling at yesterday, but it's kind of surprising that they never played each other. Like, I think probably just a game or two separated them from probably 2 or 3 really, really good games.
Well, we have yet to see if Archie Miller can recreate the success that Bob Knight had at Indiana. It's going to be hard to do. Bob Knight had 3 national championships there and just an insane amount of All-Americans. But it's early, you know. We'll see what Archie Miller can do at Indiana.
As long as Archie Miller doesn't grab players by the throats and throw chairs across the floor, he'll probably stick around long enough to win one, maybe.
Yeah. Or, you know, maybe he'll endear himself to the fans if he does start throwing some chairs. Maybe they'll like him even more for that. But Arkansas will certainly have its hands full with the Indiana Hoosiers this Sunday, 2:30. Do you know the TV?
ESPN.
Big ESPN.
Yeah, it's prime time.
Sweet. Well, we'll definitely be interested in that. We're going to have full coverage. Scotty's going to be doing live updates. We'll have post-game analysis, post-game press conferences, all kind of stuff. So be sure to...
Arkansas women also play Arizona State.
That's right.
On Sunday, too. Arizona After State's men, a top 25 team, too. You know, Arizona State beat Arkansas like a dog last year. I think about like 45, 46 points. But Arkansas women are coming off a pretty big win at UT Arlington. I know it is UT Arlington, but you went on a shot at the buzzer with a group of girls that just aren't 100% accustomed to playing with one another. Any road win, I feel like you can get is pretty big. So they'll be pretty hyped up coming in here hosting a top 25 team Sunday.
Yeah, Mike Neighbors has that program heading in the right direction. So if you're coming out to the Razorback men's game to watch Indiana, maybe stick around. Doubleheader. Watch Arkansas's women play Arizona State. But until next week, this is the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. For Scotty Bordelon, I'm Blake Sutton. We're with Whole Hog Sports. Thanks for listening.